He is once again one half of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Rocky Romero, who's now held that title for a record 7th time. So thanks for the time and congratulations.
I appreciate it, Brian. Yeah, it's good to be on. Talking to all you nice folks.
You're a hog when it comes to that title, man.
I know. I don't know what happened. So, I must have done something right somewhere. I don't know, you know, but it's crazy to for a 7th time. I mean, it's pretty surreal.
Did you even realize that that was the record?
I mean, I kind of knew. I didn't really realize until like about like a 2 weeks or 3 weeks before then that it was going to be a record. And then I was like, oh, because I sent a tweet out and I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Now it's like something that's like a little more than, you know, the usual Young Bucks, you know, Roppongi Vice, you know, match. I was like, oh, now it's something that could be really cool, you know, like different, record breaking, you know, it's something historic. So it kind of made the whole event a little more special for myself, you know.
It's amazing that when you throw stuff like out that you don't even realize it, but the things that the fans know and they pick up on, they're able to tell you, it's incredible how much people keep up on this and know about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's pretty cool that there's people can, and I even had to like look it up just to make sure, like, so I got on like Wikipedia and I was like, okay, yeah, no, there's Liger 6, right? I knew that. Okay, right. Devitt 6. Okay. I was like, oh, but what about Jado Gato? I was like, just to make sure, you know, like, and I was like, nope. Okay. If I win, or if we win, I should say, like, that's number 7. That's, nobody's done that. I finally did something that nobody else has done.
you did that. You were in the ring for the better part of the second half of that match, pinning Young Bucks. I mean, that's not too shabby, man.
Yeah, not too shabby at all. You know, because going into it, I was like, to be honest, I mean, like, I was thinking, there's no way we're gonna win. You know, I mean, Young Bucks are the hottest tag team in the world. I mean, you know, and I think that they, you know, they're the best tag team in the world, you know, bar none, especially, you know, they're 2016. I mean, there's nobody that really compares and how consistent they are with their performances and, you know, their matches. I mean, there's a lot of talk that a lot of people, you know, they were saying, you know, like there's, you know, I mean, there's, you know, guys in NXT that have had some great matches, like, you know, DIY and, you know, or DIY, whatever it is. The Revival and, you know, and those guys put on great matches, but, you know, like, to be honest and to be fair is like, I think in the Young Bucks case is that those guys put on those matches, you know, a couple times a year, 4 times a year, 5 times a year, where like the Bucks are putting on those matches every night, literally every night, you know, and they stand up and they hold up against any of them. So, I just think that it walking into, you know, into the Tokyo Dome on January 4th, it was like, okay, well, this is something that's really cool. It's very special. There's more on the line than just the norm. You know, we're probably not going to walk out of the Tokyo Dome with the belts. I mean, that's kind of, that was my thought process. You know, there's a good chance because, you know, the Young Bucks are the Young Bucks, you know, and why wouldn't they, you know, cap off their, you know, our New Japan season with the big win, you know, with the junior tag titles.
As a performer, is that the most difficult part of the job? It's not only just trying to do the best that you can, you know, on a particular night, especially for a big show, but when it comes to consistency and trying to have those performances night in and night out?
I think that that's the hardest part is the consistency of, you know, trying to have a great performance, trying not to kill yourself doing it, you know, and just keeping the expectations of the fans, you know, high and keep them happy and yourself as well, you know. And, you know, there's so many variables, you know, your bosses, the fans, yourself, your opponents, you know, there's so many people that you don't want to let down. So, like, you know, being able to have that consistency is, I think that that's why, you know, New Japan is something, you know, that's special is because, like, how many times have we've had like, you know, Chaos versus Bullet Club or something in matches that aren't even televised that are like amazing, like seriously, like Meltzer would be going nuts, you know, you know, but they're the matches that nobody's ever seen, you know, and I kind of always think about like, oh, what if like Ric Flair and, you know, Steamboat, you know, when people say like, oh, you should have seen this match in this place, that was better than the one that they had on TV. And I understand that, you know, but it's cool to, you know, I think that New Japan's standards are high. Japanese fans, you know, expect a lot, you know, and you to deliver, which is cool. And so it kind of keeps us fresh and on our toes and always working hard to, you know, to have a match that's always successful.
When it comes to staying healthy, how is Trent doing following that flip dive to the floor? Is he still with us?
He may have passed on. Hard to say. But somebody's tweeting from his account, so hopefully he's all right. He twisted his ankle a little bit off of that. And then obviously you can see in New Year's Dash that his lower back was hurting a bit from it. But, you know, thank God he's still with us. And I'm glad that he's still there.
What's your reaction? What was your reaction when you saw him do it, or did you see him even do that?
You know, I looked up on the monitor, and I just caught the end of it, and I was like, "Oh my God! Okay, well, Trent's dead. All right, so let's just continue this thing because I don't know what the hell just happened to him. You know, he's gone. He's gone."
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in a match like that, I mean, well, in any kind of match, but especially on that kind of stage, and you see something like that happen. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some guys that maybe don't want to even see it, or if they do, right, is the natural inclination to go out there and check on him, or do you just say, you know what, I trust him as a guy, and I just got to go about the business here of the match?
Right, right. Well, I mean, you want to check on him, you know, but sometimes it's just not possible. You know, of what's going on in the match, and especially something like that. But, you know, we're lucky to have a doctor and a medical staff and trainers that are, you know, always nearby. And, you know, so like you kind of have to trust that somebody at least is taking care of them, you know, until it's possible for you to go actually over there and see for yourself, you know.
Have you told him not to do that again, or is it just kind of, or do you just say, hey, you know what, to each their own, you know what you're doing?
I mean, I've told him numerous times not to ever do that dive, because that's actually the same dive that he busted his knee and was out for like a year with, right, you know. So I tell him all the time, don't do that dive. It's not necessary. But, you know, Trent is Trent, and he lives, you know, on his own. He goes on his own way, and he lives to the beat of his own drum. And, there's just no stopping, you know, no stopping him at all.
That was one of the more spectacular things I've seen, is a guy, I mean, it wasn't like he just dove out of the ring. I mean, that was high. That was way up there. I was trying to figure out who got higher, him or Kenny Omega, when he fell out of the ring.
Right, right, yeah. Huh. Yeah, but, you know, Kenny I don't know what's worse, to be honest. I don't know if the floor was worse, or if, you know, going through one of those tables that hardly ever, you know, the table barely broke, you know, Kenny going through it. So, like, I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I know that I hope to never have to go through any one of those situations. So
explain to everybody the difference between tables that wrestling fans traditionally see here in the United States and that table, like the one that Kenny crashed through, which is a traditional ring-sized Japanese table, because those look a lot thicker and a lot harder.
Yeah. Those Japanese tables are unforgiving. There's two huge metal bars that go under it. So, I mean, just think about what kind of force you have to go through that metal and that wood, you know? So, and they're meant to, you know, when Japan builds something, it's meant to last for a long time. So basically, you know, those things are meant to last, you know, far past the time that we're going to be on this earth. I think, you know, those things will still be standing unless Kenny Omega, you know, is on the other side of it, you know? They're not the same tables that you see on a WWE show.
So where did you watch that main event? Did you go out in the audience to watch it, or did you watch it backstage?
So I started watching it backstage, and then about halfway through, I realized, all right, well, these guys are onto something a little special. I better go watch from the crowd, because, you know, I was curious to see, like, hear them. Because where we were in the dugout, where we have our locker room, you know, you can't really hear the people. You know, it's a huge, you know, it's a baseball stadium. So I walked out And then there was a crazy buzz in the Tokyo Dome, similar to like what you feel or hear in Ryugoku, the sumo hall, mm-hmm. which is a more enclosed space, is very intimate, you know, and the acoustics are great, right? So when you hear that buzz, you can feel it. It's an energy that you feel. And when I walked out through and I got to where I could hear the people and actually on the floor, I could feel it too. And I was surprised because I've never felt that in that particular arena, you know? So then I definitely knew that I'm glad that I had walked out because I knew that something special was going on. And then, just right when, you know, after that, you know, I think Okada, not too far after that, Okada hit the Rainmaker and I was like, okay, well, we're done. Started to kind of half turn and walk away. And it was 1, 2, 3 kick out. And then I was like, oh shit. Okay. And then they wrestled for like 15 more minutes.
Right.
And that just, and I was like everybody else in that building, you know, gripping, you know, whatever was next to me, you know, the edge of my seat, you know, thinking, I don't know what's going to happen right now. I don't know who's going to win, you know, and there was truly that moment of like losing yourself and completely like, who's going to win at this point? He kicked out of the Rainmaker. I mean, like only one person, I think Tanahashi was the only person that I think kicked out of the Rainmaker like that or whatever, you know? So it was a very special moment. And I was like, when it was all said and done, I immediately had put out a tweet because, I mean, it's truly how I felt. I felt very emotional about the whole thing. And I was like, I think that was the best match I've ever seen because I was truly, truly emotional. And I was sitting with a friend of mine, Dave Floridia, and we were both watching and I was like freaking out. And he's like, dude, are you okay? Are you okay? Because I could feel myself like just, I don't know. I knew that I was watching something special and I knew that I was connected to whatever was happening in the ring and connected to all these people, you know, in this arena. And, you know, I kind of, my eyes got watery because it was new that like what these guys are doing was, you know, there's a certain feeling like, as you know, from a wrestler to wrestler standpoint and just as a performer that like, I don't know, I felt like touched by it, you know, so as weird as it sounds, maybe, you know, but, you know, it moved me. And then I think, you know, what was cool about that match is it moved a lot of people.
Well, you understand it a lot more than just the average fan. There's a lot of hardcore devoted fans, but as a performer, especially somebody that has worked in that particular ring in New Japan, I think mm-hmm. you understand it. You appreciate what kind of a moment it is. And I can totally understand right. that you want the people in the locker room to be the biggest fans out there because that means they're going to work that much harder. They're going to enjoy that much more. And it allows you to get lost in the moment when you see something special like that happen. And you know what a precious moment that is.
Right. And I don't, you know, and, you know, I talked about this a little bit during the G1 that I felt like a little torn, you know, and because obviously like Okada is a really good friend of mine and he's always been a big supporter. And, you know, I've known him since he was, you know, 16 years old. I wrestled him in Mexico, you know, and so I have, you know, I have a long relationship with him and also he's my stable mate, you know, so I want him to win. But there's this other part of me that, you know, has to kind of root for Kenny as well, you know, being a foreigner and going, you know, and always kind of feeling like there was a glass ceiling, you know, for us, you know, being a foreigner in Japan, you know, in New Japan, that there has always kind of been a glass ceiling. So, you know, all the many years that I've been there, you know, I've seen it kind of go higher and get raised a little higher, a little higher, a little higher to like, you know, 2016, you know, a year ago, Kenny was a junior heavyweight wrestling Kushida for, you know, the IWGP junior heavyweight title. And, you know, myself being a junior, you know, like I know that like what battles we have to go through just to, you know, to make sure that people don't forget about us because, you know, everybody puts so much focus on the heavyweights. So there's kind of like two things that I really connect with Kenny on. And I want to see him, you know, go as far as he can go because it for me that's something that you know I dream about, you know, of course I dream to you know have a singles match on, you know, on you know Wrestle Kingdom, of course, you know, any one of us would dream of having a main event, you know, position on Wrestle Kingdom, of course, any one of us would want to go for the IWGP heavyweight title or even win it, because there's just been a few handful of guys who have done that, you know. So watching him, you know, have this crazy whirlwind a year, and to top it off, if he could actually go and win the big one, is like inspiring. And it's like, that's a part of it too. That's another reason why, you know, I think I was emotional about it, you know, and I was emotional about it when he won the G1, you know. I mean, I'm on commentary, my eyes are watering because I know what a struggle it is for, you know, a foreign talent, you know, to make it to the height in, you know, in New Japan.
So there was so much talk going into that show about this is the time for Kenny. Look at the great year that he's had, but this is his time, and it's time to have him be the champion, especially as New Japan's trying to do even more expansion. Were you surprised that he did not walk away as champion?
No, you know what? By the end of it, it just felt like it didn't matter.
Right.
You know, it didn't matter who won at that point, because I think, you know, they both won, you know, and then, it, of course, like you said, going into it, it felt like, okay, yeah, maybe it's Kenny's time to do that. But like, look what he did, you know, to that point, you know, and then look what he did in the match, because anybody who's seen that match and everybody in that building, at the end of that, it kind of didn't matter who got their hand raised, you know.
You know, especially over the last few years, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, you know, it's been such a big year, a big event, but it's become bigger and bigger. And then coming off this one, the excitement of it for the entire show, and then capped off by that main event. Do you feel like it's something different now when it comes to New Japan going forward and the exposure level, especially when it comes to, obviously, it's been a big deal in Japan, but just the exposure level here in the United States and how much it's being talked about right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it's something that happened that I don't think you can predict. I mean, obviously those guys are going to go out and have, you know, a classic match of some sort, right? But you never like could imagine what they can actually do and how many people that they've actually reached that have never seen New Japan, you know, before. And now there's all this, you know, hype, and there's this focus on New Japan Pro Wrestling as a whole. And like, you know, it's like, well, what have we discovered here, you know, from a whole new fan base? And I think that that's really exciting, because 2017, obviously New Japan is going forward and expanding. And, you know, they're coming here to L.A., you know, to Long Beach Convention Center, July 1st and 2nd. And, you know, who's going to be at the forefront of that, you know? Okada and Kenny Omega, you know, those are the guys who kind of broke a barrier and these guys put on a main event in Tokyo, Japan. How far is that from, you know, your average American, you know, wrestling fan, you know, and they have somehow, you know, because of the way the world works now through the internet, you know, that, you know, you can reach people that you couldn't reach before. And it's kind of cool to actually see that happen. And I think that 2017, they kind of set a standard of and exactly like I think a rhythm that New Japan, you know, is going to continue this year, you know.
As an LA guy, what's it going to be like this summer when you're on a New Japan show and you can actually drive to it from home?
That's going to be weird. It's going to be really weird. Yeah, it's going to be weird. But I'm really excited because this is an opportunity, you know, personally, to have like friends and family who can't make it to Japan, who like have seen, you know, the Access show, or they've seen clips online or pictures, and they get really excited. And it's, you know, that's just a trip that they can't make. You know, it's just not possible for them to come, you know, and drive the 30 minutes to Long Beach. And, you know, they get to experience, you know, the closest thing possible to watching it in Japan, you know, but because it's going to be the exact same product and everything that makes New Japan special, you know, is just going to be here in America, you know. And it's kind of cool that they'll be in, you know, and that first day to see, you know, the explosion of New Japan on American soil.
Obviously, we see New Japan guys wrestle all the time, you know, especially in the United States as part of Ring of Honor. But What do you think that's going to feel like when it's going to be a full New Japan show, but not in front of a Japanese audience? It's going to be in front of an American audience, because I think, you know, obviously wrestling over in Japan, it's just a different vibe with the audience, a different connection. And here in the States, it's a little bit more raucous from beginning to end. And that's going to be a little bit different, I would think.
Yeah, but it's exciting. It's cool. You know, I mean, like, it's kind of cool that I think American fans can make it their own, you know, that's what, like, taking that product and moving it here. It's like, well, now the fans are just as much in the creative, you know, process as the wrestlers or performers are that night, you know, because we don't know how people are going to react. They're going to choose their heroes and their, you know, and their villains, you know, they're going to choose, you know, they're going to choose and the tempo of the show in a way, you know, like what they get into, what they don't get into. I mean, it's like kind of like starting over in a way, but, you know, obviously, you know, hope, you know, people will know these guys, but I mean, it's kind of cool that everybody will be in it together in that moment, creating whatever it is that, you know, that comes out of it, you know, which is cool. I think that's really something unique and special. So, like, I want to say to fans right now, you know, with this opportunity, is like, if you have a chance to come to these shows, don't miss it, because it's really going to be something special that nobody will ever get back. You know, and I was like, it was just like, you know, being in that Tokyo Dome watching Kenny and Okada live. This is an event that you're not going to want to miss, because this is truly something special. And especially with the momentum that, you know, New Japan has had, you know, just starting off the year, like, you don't want to miss it. You, like, I know a lot of people say that, but, like, no, this is, like, really something that you're not going to want to miss.
Where do you think this can go for New Japan this year? Because you're talking about this momentum that's going right now. It just got announced as well that there's going to be a lot more shows that are going to be on New Japan World that are going to be broadcast in English, like Wrestle Kingdom was. There's been a lot of talk about New Japan trying to expand here in the United States. Where do you think this can go, or, you know, this following year? What do you expect?
You know, I mean, I hope, you know, July 1st and 2nd, you know, go off well. And I think that could lead to more shows in the U.S., you know, maybe all over. You know, maybe the expansion will be more than L.A. Maybe, you know, we could actually see New Japan branded shows in New York or, you know, Philadelphia. I mean, I think that's very possible. And I think that the presence will grow, you know, with Access TV. I think online, people, you know, the presence will continue to grow there. I think that 2017 is going to be a historical year in the fact that, like, you're going to actually start to know, you know, what New Japan really is and follow the storylines and follow the characters. And, you know, because, we have compelling characters, you know, like, just not everybody knows the storylines, you know, because not everybody, you know, can follow it, because, you know, unless you're staying up and you're watching, you know, New Japan World, you know, that's just a small taste of it. But I think that with the growth that people will start following these compelling characters. And what's cool about them is they're not created. They're not like false or anything. They, you know, they really are like true extensions of us, you know, as the wrestlers. So you're not getting something that's like force fed or, you know, or like, you know, this is this. And you're not rolling your eyes while you're watching. And it's like, no, these guys are living truthfully, you know, and these guys are going out there and they're busting their butts, and the quality of matches that they're putting on are far superior to any other product.
Yeah, I was going to say that's such a huge advantage, too, because that's the thing that people always talk about, is kind of this blurred reality. That's what fans want to see more so out of their wrestling. It's like where sometimes you're sitting there going, OK, is this really this guy, or do they really have a beef? Is there really an issue there or not? And it's good probably not to know, because it leaves everybody in kind of this state of wonderment and makes you really dial into everything that you're seeing. And I think that's what people are finally, you know. The people that have not watched New Japan on a regular basis are starting to say, hey, that's providing it for me, you know, and maybe I should watch them a lot more closely.
Right. I think that, you know, New Japan, you know, everybody always says, like, well, you know, we want an alternative. And I really think that New Japan is a real alternative, because I think it's the wrestling that people actually you know, there's a, I'm not gonna say everybody, but there's a good portion of wrestling fans that, that actually want to see that. That's what they want to see. And, you know, and I think that, like, what's interesting is WWE created NXT, right? Like, they've done such a good job in branding NXT kind of separate from the WWE, and they've done it so well, and they've almost, like, I don't want to say pulled the wool over wrestling fans' eyes, but they've just, like, they've done such a good job branding it separately that they're basically saying, like, this is the alternative. NXT is the alternative. You know, all the fans who like independent wrestling, or the fans who wanna, who like New Japan or what, ROH or whatever it might be, this is the alternative, right? Is actually NXT. When, to be honest, it's just WWE. It's the same product. They're just throwing a different filter on it and trying to, you know, get you to feel like it's different. It's not WWE, but it is, you know? And it's like, and fans, a lot of fans have bit into it, you know, because they've hired, you know, the guys that, you know, from, you know, guys like Samoa Joe and Shinsuke and, you know, whoever, to kind of like, hey guys, no, this is the alternative, but it's not. It's not a true alternative, and it's not real, you know? And I think what's cool is, like, New Japan, ROH, you know, and they're growing, and, you know, and WWE is trying to stop that growth, you know? But that growth is essential for WWE's future as well, you know? So they can't forget about that. And, you know, by you know, offering guys contracts and trying to, you know, they need to support the growth of New Japan and ROH and other places just as much, you know, and I hope that they realize that, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's going to be interesting coming up here, because now there's so much speculation surrounding Kenny, and people are wondering, right, like, I don't even know what his contract status is. I don't know if he's signed, right. I don't know if he's not, and if he hasn't, where's he going to go? And, mm-hmm, you know, it's got a lot of people talking. It's good for him from the standpoint, he's got a lot of things talking, but we don't know. And I mean, even as a performer, I mean, I'm sure you're sitting there going, I don't know what's going on. Let's see how this rides out. But let's hope, right, that Kenny stays where he's at and we can continue to grow off that momentum.
Absolutely. You know, Kenny is such a unique individual, and, you know, he's obviously really, really intelligent, you know, and I don't know if he was to make that move to WWE even right now, I just don't think that would be the right choice. And I think that he's smart enough to kind of know that, you know, I think, because he's still got, you know, he's got a lot to do still in New Japan before even wanted to move over to WWE. You know, there's still obviously that's something missing, and that could be the IWGP heavyweight title, you know, and I think that is a big deal for him, even though, you know, 2016, he had, you know, one of the craziest, probably the best year in wrestling that anybody's ever had, you know, and the height that he's gone, you know.
Well, how important do you think he is when it comes to the expansion of New Japan, especially like in the United States? I know he's Canadian, but he's North American. It's just like you, you know, it's important to have guys like yourselves, people that are from here, you know, and trying to expand the product. And right now, Kenny just came off that incredibly ridiculous match.
Right. I always say, I think in 2016, I always thought that Kenny was, you know, vital for the expansion. But now after Wrestle Kingdom, I think that, you know, it's like, he's the guy, he's the key, you know? So I think that, you know, New Japan, you know, I think that New Japan knows that, you know, and I think that he is the key to, you know, the success that I think New Japan will have in 2017 to end 2018, you know, with this expansion, you know, and to see where it goes. I think that he is, you know, Okada is up there too, but I think that he's key, you know?
Absolutely. You know, and you know, it's funny because, like, go back to last year, and I think we spoke, early in the year, and we talked about, you know, with Shinsuke and AJ and Anderson and Gallows all leaving, you know, seeing your friends leave is always tough enough, but obviously you're talking about four of the top guys that were in the company. And there was a lot of questions going into what was going to happen with New Japan going into 2016.
Right.
What was your thoughts about what was going to happen with the year after losing those guys and what ended up happening?
You know what I think that well, another thing that makes New Japan you kind of unique and special too is that, like, the way the storytelling is and the storylines goes is that, like, guys are built so well that at any time stars can be made. And there's really no other organization on this planet that is able to do that or do that as well as New Japan, you know? And I think that that's a fact. So I think that, like, yeah, you take these, you know, four huge stars and they move on to WWE. But, like, look how many guys were able to move up into that position. You know, Shibata is, at any moment, you can pull the trigger with him and make him, you know, a top, you know, drawing star.
Absolutely.
You know
what I'm saying?
You know, look at, you know, Ishii is another guy who can move up. Maybe not as high as Shibata, but he's in the run. You know, people will drive from all over to see Ishii, you know, or wherever, fly in, you know, to see an Ishii match because, you know, it's going to be something special. You know, Goto is another guy that at any moment could be, you know, pushed to that level. You know, there's younger guys that are, you know, Juice Robinson is a guy that could be pushed up a little higher to that level, you know, and you can see it now, you know, like, what a great year he has. Cody Rhodes, another guy, like, you know, he's just touched the surface, you know, of New Japan, but, like, look at what he's done in this last year for himself, and now he's working, you know, with, you know, some of the best talent the world has to offer, you know, and look what Kenny's done, you know, I mean, like, there's so much, the talent pool is deep in New Japan, and I think that, like, the way that, like I said, the storytelling is, any moment anybody could be promoted up to that spot and do well.
So how surprised were you to find out that Minoru Suzuki and Suzuki-Gun were coming back?
Surprised, to say the least, yeah. You know, I kind of had a feeling that it could be coming. I didn't expect that it would happen that soon, you know? But it definitely just deepens the talent pool even further. I'm curious to see how it's all going to work out because New Japan does have so many, guys now, you know, like it's really, really, you know, there must be like 60, 70 guys. That's probably the most, you know, roster wise, that's probably the biggest roster that they've ever had, I would think. So I'm kind of curious to see how it'll all work out. You know, obviously, you know, still, New Japan is limited. You know, it's not like WWE where, you know, they have, you know, four shows a week or five shows a week every week. You know, it's a touring system. So I'm kind of curious to see how it'll work out. You know, obviously Bullet Club is off of the next series, it looks like. So, you know, Suzuki-Gun is in. So I wonder how that's all going to play out, you know.
Yeah.
It could be really good for fans, though, because – It could be good for both, because fans and wrestlers, because wrestlers might have the time, you know, time off, you know, to recoup, and reinvigorate themselves, and then, and reinvent themselves, you know, with a few weeks off, you know, here and there. And then it's also good to, you know, to give the fans a break to want to see those wrestlers come back, you know, and see what they're going to do next. You know, obviously, like, Kenny, right? I mean, he's, you know, there's the example again, is that, you know, Kenny, taking this time off is kind of interesting because who, you know, what is he going to come? Is he going to, when he comes back, is Okada going to be champion? Is Suzuki going to be champion? We've never seen Omega versus Suzuki. That's something that's really interesting. Suzuki had, you know, 2016 with him and AJ had, or 2015, him and AJ had one of the best matches, you know, a match of the year that everybody was talking about. Was it 2015, 2014, one of those. But, you know, so, That's something that's something fresh and new that nobody's ever seen, you know. So, like, there's a lot of, like, possibilities this year that I think are really interesting, and you know, fans are definitely gonna win out, and definitely wrestlers are gonna win out in the fact that, you know, they're not overworked, you know, in any way.
Oh yeah, and it's gonna mean so much more when those guys come back too, and it's new opponents for everybody, including yourselves. Now it's, you know, you've got the New Beginning show coming up here, and it's gonna be Roppongi Vice against Taichi and Taka Michinoku.
Yeah, Taka Taichi. Yeah, which is cool. Is, you know, like I said, it's a fresh match. you know, me and Kozlov had a small, you know, stint with them that, you know, a few years back in like 2013 or something. So I'm curious to see, you know, I've changed a lot since that time, you know, and I'm curious to see how much they've changed, and also our fan base has grown, you know, and how they'll react to them, and, you know, how they'll react to us against them. You know, I'm curious to see, because obviously, you know, they're more the villains than we are, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that plays out. If the fans, what side the fans choose, you know,
representing the honor of New Japan now. I hope you know that.
Right. 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 Which is weird. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, but, you know, so yeah, I'm curious to see how it all plays out, you know, and especially, you know, like our fan base has grown so much over 2016. And it, you know, we had such an interesting storyline going on, you know, where, you know, me and Trent, you know, we were on the verge of breaking up. And, you know, I went through, you know, this crazy losing streak, you know, and, you know, and the fans really got into it, and they kind of, you know, they supported us all the way through that, you know, all the way until, you know, the Tokyo Dome. So I'm curious to see how well that transfers over against Taka and Taichi.
So you mentioned, you know, you got to do commentary for G1. What was that experience like?
That was incredible. It was really, really cool. It definitely one of the highlights of my career, and I'm hoping that they'll ask me to do it again this year, because it was a lot of fun working with Steve Corino and Kevin Kelly. Was amazing. Like, it's cool that, you know, there's so many aspects of this business that I still don't know about, and, you know, even the you know, for as long as I've been in it, and still stuff that I'm learning about. You know, and even just watching the matches from that perspective, and that, you know, I'm still learning from the guys, you know, in the ring, but learning about, you know, how the TV production works is like really, really, really interesting to me. So, you know, that's something that I, you know, hopefully I could see myself doing in the future when, you know, I'm done in the ring. You know, maybe like working with the TV production, you know, being a, you know, producer or something, with something that would be, you know, really, really interest me, or, you know, doing commentating or something. Like, there's just so many, I think, options that, you know, hopefully I'll have when I'm done wrestling.
I was going to say, I know that they're going to be doing more, you know, English broadcasts, you know, on New Japan World. And I know you're still very active, obviously, you know, still wrestling, but has Kevin Kelly tried to recruit you yet to at least do half the shows, you know, with him on the broadcast?
Oh yeah. I don't know how many times he told the New Japan World producers that, can we just have Rocky for this match and this match and this match? And I don't know how many times, like since the G1, they've actually scheduled me to join the commentating team, at least like after my match or whatever. But it just hasn't worked out because, you know, we were in kind of high profile matches. So we weren't, you know, it just wasn't able to happen. But I'm hoping that in 2017, it won't just be the G1, or, you know, I mean, I hope that it's the G1 at least. But, you know, I hope that I'll have more opportunities to sit in the booth with them. That would be like amazing to me.
So how's the music career coming?
Good. We're working on the Roppongi Vice album number 2, Six Trees Vice 2.0.
Nice.
And I've got about maybe 6 or 7 songs that I wrote in the month and a half I had off before for Wrestle Kingdom. So I actually got like they were just coming out. I guess I had a lot of stuff that I haven't touched anything musically since the last album. So there was, you know, a lot of things I've gone through, you know, since then. So that I was able to write about it, and, you know, and Trent, gives me, you know, some really good ideas and funny stuff. So there's going to be a lot of, this one's probably going to be a bit more, you know, comedic, which is exciting. And, you know, we're about, you know, 3/4 of the way done with it. So, which is kind of cool. So there's just a couple more songs, left, and, you know, Chuck Taylor is going to be heard on this one, which is exciting. Oh, yeah. To, you know, yeah. He's got a bit of a comeback here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, who can we expect to be guests? Because I know that, you know, MVP, you said, was down before, right. You know, Kenny King. So anybody else?
Right. I'd like to keep it a secret. I gave you Chuck. So, yeah, I'd like to keep the rest of it a secret until it comes out, because that's kind of part of the exciting thing is, you know, kind of people discovering it, you know, is the fun part for some, you know, when you're making something, to watch the, you know, somebody discover and go, oh, I didn't know this person was on. I know that person is fun, you know.
What are the chances that Okada could be making a cameo?
They're very high.
Yes.
I mean, there could be an Okada song, maybe.
Wow.
Possibly, you know, I don't know just yet. I can't deny or confirm it just yet, but it's a possibility.
I've seen a little bit of his skills. I know we were joking before we started about the commercial that the two of you did promoting New Japan World. So
yeah,
if it's anything like that, there's going to be some good quality stuff coming up here.
Yeah, maybe he'll just, you know, do the whole song in English, you know, and we don't know. Nobody knows.
I like that. So the music career is going well. What has happened with your podcast career now?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of in the dumps ever since those guys left me.
You guys were doing the worst show in the world, and then out of the world, it's gone.
I know, just gone. And then they picked up Jericho, you know?
How weak
is
that?
Yeah, and they and all they do is trash talk me on it, and you know, I don't think it's fair, and I don't really appreciate it. You know, there could be a song, a diss track of some sort.
Oh,
on the Roppongi Vice album, you know, coming up, you know, Six Trees Vice 2.0 may or may not have a diss track on it. Talking about it, I don't know yet.
Did you allow Anderson and Gallows to use the Talkin' Shop name without you?
I mean, they're doing it illegally, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I was thinking. Is that illegal? Come on.
And they'll be hearing from my lawyers. You know, they definitely will.
Is there any chance of a Talkin' Shop reunion once New Japan is in L.A. for a couple of shows? You might be around for a little extended time.
You know, I couldn't say.
Has Jericho invited you to be on the podcast yet?
No. And that pisses me off even more. You know, it's like, why hasn't anybody reached out to me to have me on the podcast? You know,
I feel like
I'm essential to that podcast, you know, and nobody has even taken the time to send me a tweet or answer my emails or anything.
He just had Kenny on.
Of course he did.
This is ridiculous.
I know.
You're a 7-time champion of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championships. What has Kenny won? Come on.
He didn't win. You know, he didn't even win the belt.
Okay, man. He didn't win. The Young Bucks didn't win. The only one of the Bullet Club that won was Adam Cole that night.
Right. Do you understand the frustration that I live with every day?
You should be. You know? I'm frustrated for you. I mean, I'm living vicariously through you, kind of like you watching a match and getting upset and getting emotional. I'm getting emotional right now hearing this.
Exactly. You know, well, I mean, Jericho's got a channel. Why can't I have my own channel? Or my own show on there, you know?
That's a
very
good question. I'm surprised he has not reached out to you. In all sincerity, I really am surprised by that, because you should have your own podcast.
I should. I don't need them. I don't need any of them.
Have you thought about doing your own podcast?
I've thought about it. And, you know, the hard, we did have something that was so unique and special. It'd be hard. You know, it's really just figuring out what I would want to do, you know, because I wouldn't want to emulate that, you know, and I wouldn't want to, because it was special. So
can you emulate that? Really? Come on.
I mean, it was trash, to be honest. So actually I've got nowhere to go but up, really. So is what I should really be saying, you know, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see. You know, I've been thinking a lot, you know, so I mean, something that I actually want to do this year is, you know, I've actually written I was writing a short TV show, you know, so or like a web series type thing. And then it kind of just kept growing and growing. I kept writing and writing. So like now, you know, it's kind of turned into like this, like, you know, small 90-minute movie. So I think that's going to be the goal in 2017, is to produce this, you know, this kind of micro budget movie. So I'm hoping that, you know, people will support and you know, and give it a look and check it out and, you know, purchase it, you know, once it's actually finished. But that's one of the big goals outside of wrestling is to, you know, is to get this thing made. And I'm hoping that I'll act in it. And yeah, it should be cool. Like the people that I've shown so far and have read it, you know, they all really like it. And, you know, it's funny. It's got heart. And, you know, it's obviously, you know, it's about a luchador who's, you know, 35 and ready to retire. So, you know, a lot of it is taken from my own experiences and life in wrestling, you know, so it's kind of cool. So hopefully, you know, so definitely keep an eye out for that.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a big year coming up for you between the movie. You've got the new album coming out and, of course, staying busy with New Japan. Continued success. You know, I'm great to see everything going your way right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing what comes down the pipe here soon.
I'm excited too. We'll see how it all works out, you know? So, yeah, but I really appreciate you having me on. It's been great. You know, we got to do this maybe yearly checkup, you know, every so often, you know, or after every Wrestle Kingdom. I think it's important that we do it, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, if the movie comes out later this year, that gets done, we will do it before then as well.
That would be great. That would be beautiful.
You got it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. Thanks, Brian.
Good catching up with Rocky Romero. Great guy and a great talent as well. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with New Japan going forward. There's a lot of things that they're working on. They're trying to expand in the United States. You know, I haven't always been the biggest fan of New Japan, or I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Maybe I just haven't followed it as much as I have other promotions, but you know, I've always tried to keep up with it a little bit. I'm watching more of it now, and that's the plan going forward. I want to continue to watch it. It's a lot of fun. I would encourage anybody else to go out there and watch it as well, or at least keep up with it. We're always talking about having something different than WWE, having alternatives, and New Japan is another alternative, and that's what makes it great, and that's what makes it fun, I think, for a lot of people. You know, if you don't like it, that's fine, but it's something that is different that is out there for you to support. And there's so many other different groups that are out there. It's just another place where guys can work, and it's another place that we can support as wrestling fans that's different from anything else that we see that is out there right now. So that's what we want to see. We always talk about having some differences with our wrestling, and that's what we're getting from New Japan. And they have a great product right now. It's a lot of fun. And I would encourage anybody to at least check it out, give it a chance. And if you like it, keep supporting it. And if not, then you know what? Keep watching what you like. But you know what? There's a lot of things when it comes to pro wrestling. There is something for everybody out there right now. That's one of the great things when it comes to wrestling. There's so much of it that is out there. We could talk about maybe there is too much. But at the same time, I think there's something for everybody. That if you're a wrestling fan, there is something out there that you'll like and you can support. Speaking of support, please support this podcast on Patreon. Doesn't matter if it's $1 a month, $5 a month, or whatever you would like to give. It goes a long way in helping us with the podcast. There are some costs that are involved. So anything that you feel comfortable with providing when it comes to this podcast, go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Please support us there. Helps us out a lot. Also, you can help us out even by not giving us money. If you want to give us money, that's fantastic. But we also encourage everybody to please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Give us stars. Give us a lot of stars. We love stars, and that helps us with the ranking of the podcast. So please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. If you haven't done that yet, go right now. Go right now. Rate and review the podcast. Give us a lot of stars over on iTunes. Thanks again, everybody. Mike will be joining me on Thursday night for the weekly Between the Ropes podcast, the regular podcast. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it until then because of our schedules, but we will be doing it on Thursday night, and there will be a lot to talk about between Raw and SmackDown, the fantastic UK tournament from over the weekend on the WWE Network, and plenty of other news and notes and whatnot. So we'll be covering all of that coming up on Thursday night on the regular Between the Ropes podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.